AMP Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we
have radio.
Yeah, okay. You know, what are you doing?
Radio. Fetch.
Big meat.
Fetch. Fetch.
Are you ready for this performance?
Fetch.
They're gonna bang, bro.
Fetch.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. Thank you very much, Gordy, for belting that out. We appreciate you. We miss you dearly. As I was saying, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio. This particular show, we like to call Smack My Picks Up. My name is Proteus. I will be your host for the evening. And this is the UFC Fight Night 124 edition of Smack My Picks Up. Of course, we're also calling it Fight Night Stevens versus Choi, or Little Heathen versus Superboy, I believe.
You're talking crazy.
Let's move on. This fight, of course, has been coming to us from St. Louis, Missouri, and the granddaddy of them all, the Scottsdale Trades. This is actually the first time the UFC has gone to St. Louis. I don't know why the welterweight champ isn't fighting on this card. That's okay. He's got an injury. Anyways, let's move on. Strikeforce had previously held three events in St. Louis. Most recent one was in December 2010. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do on this particular show is we're going to cover the four fight main cards. And then, of course, we're going to do everybody's favorite segment, Spotlight Fight of the Night. And then we'll get into some news and notes, and we'll go from there. We'll wing it after that. But let's go ahead and bring in the hosts of the show. Coming at us live and direct from North Carolina, the half of the stars of the Sam and Pam show that came to us live from UFC 219 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's bring her in right now, DJ Tony. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Now is where you should cue the music. Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. I missed y'all. Oh.
Of course, we should cue the music, Pammy. We all know the voice of insanity is getting her picks on the internet. Everybody loves them, no matter what. Every time I see a picture of Pam, I don't even need to comment. Oh, there it is.
That's my music right there.
Comment, Pam. I don't even need to tell you anymore that you look good because everybody else is telling you look good.
So thank you. Man, oh my gosh. We'll have to talk about my epic trip because it was epic.
Yeah, we'll get into that, Pam, because we haven't spoken to you since before 219. We'll get into that.
I know.
Maybe a little bit later in the show before we let everybody go. We want to hear these stories because it was an epic couple of days for you. That's for sure.
It was.
But as I mentioned earlier on, I've got the boss man here. Let's go ahead and bring yourself in, DJ Tony. What you saying?
Hey, DJ! Yes, yes.
DJ!
You know what, Proteus? Do you remember when you used to call Pammy the life of the party? Darn, she is
absolutely
certainly the life of the party. And when we fly coach on Spirit Airline with four stops as we do our second year anniversary, we will bring the life of the party and her voodoo doll.
Oh, yes. I took him with me, too.
I did notice that. I did notice. I think it was a different one this time, wasn't it? Do you bring it? Do you have more than
no,
one?
No, I have more than one, but that little tiny one goes with me all the time.
All right. I think we've had this discussion before. Let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show right now. You know him. You love him. Malco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, Rules. Que pasa, ladies? Welcome back.
Hey, que pasa?
Getting ready for this Sunday afternoon affair, because let's remind the listeners.
That's right.
This fight is happening on Sunday, not on Saturday. If you're watching on Saturday and you don't see any fights on the TV, you're dumb.
Ooh, I'm one of those dummies.
After watching some football on Sunday, we're going to watch some fights, too.
That's right. That's right.
If for anyone,
exactly. Just so everybody's clear, this is going off on a Sunday afternoon, as Marco was saying, after the NFL playoffs. What is it, semifinals right now, guys?
I'm not even paying attention. I don't even know.
It's a divisional round.
Divisional round, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm showing my ignorance right now. As long as my Steelers are in, I don't care, which they are. So let's go ahead, guys. Let's get into this card because what do you got? As I mentioned, listen, guys, I think this is a very good fight card. I think it's very deceptive, and especially for a fight night card. I think we're going to have the potential, Marco, for some really good fights. So let's go ahead and get into this. Let's start in the welterweight division. We go. We have Emil Meek, who looks good getting off the bus. 29 years of age, 9-2-1-1, and his odds are a plus 475 against Kamaru. I always have trouble with his name, Tony. Kamaru Usman.
Kamaru.
Who is also a beast, let's be honest. 29 years of age, also 11-1, coming at us at a minus 650. Boy, that doesn't seem close to me. But Marco, let's start with you. What you got on this one? Because this could be a serious welterweight fight.
So we got the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman versus Emil Meek. Norwegian guy, if I'm correct. Two guys that look good coming out of the box, man.
Yeah.
If I were these two guys, I'd be looking over my shoulder for USADA because, you know. The eye test. But that said, man, Kamaru Usman cannot get anybody to fight him. So I applaud this other dude for raising his right hand. Everything will tell you that freaking Kamaru Usman should win this fight. I think he's going to win this fight. But let's not sleep on Amik, man, because he is also a really good fighter. And he also tends to have a flair for the knockout. But for what the evidence shows us, the more athletic guy, the guy that hits the harder, the guy that got the better wrestling, the guy that is more aggressive, and the guy that really got a chip on his shoulder, as you have noticed lately, is Kamaru Usman. I'm picking Usman to win, and I'm picking him to win in a very aggressive fashion. I mean, for the longest time, he couldn't find a freaking finish, and the last time, he put a punctuation mark, an exclamation point, and all the hashtags that you can put on the way he finished his last opponent. I'm picking Usman to win by knockout, and I'm picking Usman to win by knockout early on the second round. It's going to be an entertaining fight for as long as it lasts. And Kamaru Usman, he said it himself, he's a problem. He's going to be an immediate contender. People are going to start paying real good attention to this guy.
All right, so Marco has Usman. Would you say second round KO?
Second round KO, TKO, yep.
Thank you very much, Marco. And I agree with you, Marco. I mean, this is a very, very tough fight, very competitive fight against two contenders, right, Pam? I mean, these two guys are kind of the future of the welterweight division. If anybody's not familiar with Emil Meek, I'm sure Pam's going to familiarize him with you. But of course, you know. Meek won the title off of Husamar Paul Harris in Venator, which, of course, is, you know, not saying much, regional circuit, but then come into the UFC, beat Jordan Mean. by decision. So, Pam, what you got here on this one?
Oh, my gosh. Okie dokie. The voice. Oh, yeah, you can play some pony on this because we're talking hot Vikings. Okay. So, Kamaru Usman, he's a striker. He's a grappler. His last loss was in 2013, which was a submission. He's a three-time All-American wrestler. Versus Emil Meek, striking power, crazy Viking. This guy has 7 KOs, one sub, one decision, and he does have 2 losses by KO. Usman, 6 KOs, 1 sub, 4 decisions. On paper, everybody's going for the Nigerian nightmare, but man, I'm going for some crazy Viking shit. It's just, you know, don't fear death. If it comes, embrace it as if you're lying down next to a beautiful woman. I am going Emil Meek with the second round TKO.
All right. So Pam going with Valhalla. Second round TKO.
Bitch.
And of course that is.
What a cool nickname, by the way.
Right? I mean, he's got a good team behind him or something, because that's just perfect. Look, at as Marco was saying, like, both of these guys look good getting off the bus. I mean, both, I think, yeah, Marco, correct me if I'm wrong, but Meek did have an issue with USADA a couple of fights ago, or when he just first got into the UFC, did he not, or am I confusing things?
No, I think it was visa issue.
No, it was visa issues. Couldn't get in because he couldn't get his working visa.
That's for this. That was for this fight, because he had to fight in the United States of America. His last fight against Jordan Mean was in Canada, and he didn't have a problem with the visa. But I think there was a flag earlier on.
He did.
In Meek's career.
He had an USADA issue in 2016. He did.
Yeah. So you're not too far from the pond there, Marco, because you know, you were saying, you know, watch out for USADA. And I think that was kind of the thing when I was going into this, thinking about this particular fight, because, you know, Meek coming into the UFC off of that Venator win, getting flagged by USADA, it did pull up some flags for me, some red flags. And I hope that everything comes out clean this time. Of course, I hope that Meek is using the Performance Institute, or as everybody wants to try and call it, the PI. I really hate that. Let's just call it the Performance Institute, please. Right? Do we need to have acronyms for everything? Like, I understand NASA.
Let's call it
NASA makes sense.
Let's call it PI.
Right. Oh, we could call it PI. Let's go with Marco. I like PI. That's
or
good.
P. Or P.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say P.
Everybody's on steroids.
Exactly. Thanks, Nate. Good transition. All right. So I'm going to give mine, and then Tony, I'm going to throw to you. I think that I'm going to take Meek as well. I know that Usman is super tough, and it's kind of one of those picks where you don't really know what's going to happen. But as Pam was pointing out, I think that Meek goes into the cage, the ring, the octagon, whatever he's been fighting in, you know, to put it all out on the line. And as we've seen, he's got a couple of losses by KO. I think he's going to put it out there on the line. Hopefully we're going to see a good fight, guys, because, you know, sometimes when we have two hot contenders come into the octagon, we don't see a good fight. We see them being cautious because they want to move up in the rankings, as they should, move up in the money, as they should want to. But I think that Meek's going to go out there and perform. He's going to get it done against Usman. I'm going to take second round as well, Tony. I know this is a trend right now, but I think there's going to be a feeling out process between these two guys. They're going to be throwing some hot fire in the first round, and then, you know, somebody's going to get lucky and get it done in the second, and I think it's going to be Meek.
Stupid!
Okay, so for all of you guys listening, that is, let's recap. Marco going with Usman by KO. Pam going with Meek by TKO. A second round, both of those. And, of course, Proteus going with Meek, second round KO. Let's throw to the boss. DJ Tony, what you got on this one?
I got to agree with Marco on this one. I think Kamaru Usman, guys, for everything that you've seen, even when he was with the Black Zillions, he's just a smart fighter. He's a little smaller than Meek, and obviously they're both, you know, pretty good physical specimens. I just don't think Kamaru Usman fights dumb. I actually think he's a very, very smart fighter. I don't think this is going to go the route we see it, because Marco's right. Usman was a decisionator for quite some time, right, for like four or five fights, even though his ground game is pretty good. Started his career basically TKOing and fighting kind of dumb when he was with LFC. But, guys, I don't see – I did say LFC, right, not LFA. I just don't see how he's going to fight careless and give up his win streak that's been impressive. So I'm picking a mill in – I'm sorry, I'm picking Usman via decision. So it's going to go all three rounds, guys.
Wow. Wow.
Full disclosure. Kamaru is bigger. He's bigger than Meek. Not smaller, he's bigger.
Full disclosure, for the last 2-3 events, my picks have been hot garbage. So take whatever I say with a grain of salt.
Thank you,
well,
dummies.
Well, you know what, Marco? I think we all go on a slide every now and then. Badoom boom. Hot fire. Get it? The joke? No? Okay.
Let's
Let's go ahead and move along, Tony, because we're moving to one of your favorite divisions. Of course, the women's flyweight division we go. Jessica Rose Clark coming at us at the ripe young age of 30 years old, 8-4-1, who is also a minus 20 on the betting favorite, I believe, against your girl, DJ Tony, PVZ. That's right, Paige Van Zandt. 23 years of age. Cue the music. Hashtag cue the music. Ah, I got lost. Sorry. 23 years of old. 20 years of age.
Get it together.
Let's cut that up. Yeah, I know. I'm trying. Tony's sending me pictures of Paige Van Zandt right now. Sorry. 7-3 at a plus 100. DJ Tony, why don't you lead us off here? Take it away. Who you got here?
You know me, you guys. I'm not one to just strictly go off of looks. I believe in meritocracy. There's no possible way that I can pick for PVZ on this one. PVZ, of course, the dream, the beach girl, the original Pam Anderson. But I'm going with Jessie Rose Clark. I think Jessie Rose Clark is a better fighter, a little bit more experienced, even though she's 8-4-1. But she is a betting favorite, guys. So I'm going, as it hurts me to say this, I'm going Jessie Rose Clark over PVZ.
Yeah, Jessie Jess looked really good in her last fight. And it was a pretty short notice fight. I mean, she's turning...
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Thank you, Tony. She's turning around pretty quickly and taking on, you know, the Empire's darling here in the flyweight division. Oh, sorry, I don't like saying women's flyweight, but it is the women's flyweight division. I'm going to take this one. We're going to throw to Pam, then to Marco. To Marco, then to Pam. Like you were saying, Tony, I think Jessie Jess is just the better fighter. I think she's more talented. I think she's been in the game a lot longer, and we've seen that Paige has been coming up against, when she comes up against, you know, a tougher or a higher caliber fighter, she has a really hard time. And I want to give a shout out to our boy Dave Madden. He sent out a tweet today, you know, showing Paige all beat up and then showing a picture of her Paige modeling, and you know, his tweet read, you know, find a girl that can do both for you. And I thought that was pretty good, cool by him. Even though Paige is a tough girl and she's changed her camp from Alpha Male, she's moved up to Oregon again. I don't know that her head is all in it. You know what I mean? I don't want to belittle her talents, but I just think she's going to come up against the harder, more talented fighter. And I'm going to take Jessie Jess. Pretty early. I think I'm going to take her in the second round, probably TKO.
I agree with you there, Proteus, and I didn't get a chance to say this, but I totally agree with you. It's not necessarily talent per se. I just don't think PVZ is all in the MMA game. I think she's in the fame game, but not the MMA game. So I totally agree with you.
Well, I mean, who could blame her, right? She's riding the coattails of Ronda Rousey. She was maybe the second biggest female star. I don't know if Holly Holm is on that kind of same level, but I mean, we have to talk about these kind of things. Even though, yeah, I mean, let's pay homage to Holly Holm as well. Thank you very much for cueing the music. I don't know what I was saying, Tony. Where was I? Because you cued the music again, and I got thinking about Holly Holm.
Well, you were saying about in the MMA game versus a fame game, and I was just concurring that,
right.
I agree with you.
And I think you're right. I think that, you know, she's right to cash in on this kind of hype train that she's got. You know, she got, what, a second Reebok sponsorship for a woman. So I think it's you're saying the correct things. And I'm not trying to belittle Paige. I think she's talented. I just don't think she's got enough for Jessica Rose Clark. So, Marco, DJ Tony and I are on the same train. Are we insane here, or do you think the PVZ is going to be able to pull this one out? What do you got?
DJ Tony is smoking too much of that legal marijuana in California, man. That's what he is.
I've never done any drugs.
I do need to move to California, man. I wouldn't mind a little bit of that recreational weed up there that is legal, because here in Texas, they are too uptight. But that said,
real good.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. A lot of people say that she's not in the game. Well, I was listening to Chael Sonnen on the You Welcome podcast. He's training with PVC. And I'm going to vouch for Chael. She said she's being committed. You know, she's doing 2 days on her workouts. And she, for the last year, ever since she lost to Michelle Watterson, she's been gone. She's been gone for a year. For longer than a year. She hasn't fought since 2016, but she's been committed on her technique. And Chelsea is telling everybody that can, you know, within earshot, that everybody's going to be surprised with her new striking Muay Thai skill and her jiu-jitsu. That's all she's been doing. She's been in Oregon. I mean, just because you don't see what the fighter is doing doesn't mean that they're not doing anything. And if sure. that is true, we might have a nice surprise. We know Paige VanZant is tough. We know she got cardio for days. We know she's not afraid to get one, to give you one. But if she's actually polishing her technique, I think that the underdog, there's not a big underdog. It's like it's a pick-up fight. You know, it's a pick-em. You know, 120 to 100 is really a pick-em fight. I'm pulling for Paige VanZant, and I think she's going to pull it off. She's not going to get a spectacular finish like she did against Beck Rollins, like that karate kid switch kick. But I think she's going to decisionate Jesse. It's going to be an entertaining fight. But I believe on the pace that Paige can put on, she's a natural 125-er. You know, she was killing herself to make 115, and now she's in a more comfortable weight. I think the cardio is going to be the key on this. And we know Paige can fight for days and days and days. So I'm picking Paige VanZant on a 29-28 unanimous decision.
Decisionate. That is the word of the day. I think we should use that moving forward. Decisionate. I like it. Thank you, Marco, for that one.
It's going to be a decision.
Pam. Whoa. Decision nation. Goodness gracious. I'm writing that one down, too. I like it. So, Pam, I mean, let's move to you because, you know, I think that we've got two for Clark, one for PVZ. What are you thinking?
Okay, first of all, got to give a shout-out to Team Alpha Male, always.
Oh, well, shout-out Team Alpha Male.
You're going to be hearing
shout
a lot
out
of
Team Alpha Male.
It's a bang, bro. That's right. Just bang, Issa. So we've got Paige VanZant and Jessica Rose Clark. You know, people forget or don't know that Jessica is a three-time Australian 135 champ also. So she's got speed, she's got footwork, and she is also a kickboxer. Paige VanZant is very well-rounded. You know, she's good. She's still young. She's only 23, you know, so she's still learning. But given that, you know, both of them are blue belts in jiu-jitsu, but given that, I think that Jessica, that Jessie Jess is going to be maybe a little bit too much for her. I've got Jessie Jess winning by a decision. She's never been knocked out. She's never been subbed. All her losses have been by decision. And both of them have two KOs under their belt, two submissions. Paige Van Zandt with three decision wins and Jessica Rose Clark with four decisions. So very evenly matched, but I'm going with Jess decision for me.
Yes, as Pam has said, another decision nation by Clark. That's what I'm talking about. See, Marco, we're putting that right in. Going to put that right into the lingo. Don't you worry about it. Pam, do we have a Spanish word of the day?
Well, if they were dinosaurs, they would be decisionoruses. No, I don't know. No. My Spanish for the day, I'm going to come up with one.
Okay.
Okay, well, it's going to come up with...
No, Price is Right, Bruno Banu. I just wanted to make everybody think about it because, you know, the last time I got everybody to think about it, something came out. So we'll just put it out there into the universe and Pam will think about it. Don't worry. All right, guys, let's move along because we're dragging this out right now. Let's move along, Tony, to the middleweight division we go. Our boy, Uriah Faber. I see Uriah and I go Faber. Wow. Uriah Hall. I don't believe he's 40, is he, Tony? Because they got 40.
No.
Is he 30?
33.
Thank you very much. Oh, you got him the reverse. That's all right. Uriah Hall. 33 years of age. Is the record? Anyways, is the record all messed up too? 13-8? Yeah. At a plus 265 against Vitor Belfort. 40 years of age. 26-13 at a minus 325. We're picking Vitor Belfort here against Uriah. Everything's mixed up here, right? Everything's mixed up. Tony, Marco, why don't you go ahead and give it to us?
Yeah, but the odds are right. Hall's the favorite. You're right.
Well, anyways, it's all messed up. It's all good. We know that Vitor Belfort's been in the sport way too long, and Uriah Faber. I did it twice in a row. Can you believe it? Uriah Hall. Jeez, is that guy that's right there. I mean, Uriah Hall, the ultimate fighter, knocking people out with spinning back heel kicks. Pam, let's start with you here. Do you got the young dinosaur or do you have Uriah Hall?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this guy. Okay, Uriah Hall, not Faber, Hall, H-A-L-L, H-A-double hockey sticks.
Thank
versus
you.
Vitor the Phenom Belfort. He's the Phenom, right? Belfort. Okay,
yep,
he's 40 years old in people years. No, I'm kidding. And dog years, he's dead. So we're 40 and 33. So this is where my little phrase is going to come in. It's going to be like, get chingos. Means like, what the fuck? Uriah Hall, every time I pick him, he lets me down. Every effing time, he lets me down. He's got kicks. He's got striking, kickboxing, and Kyokushin. Three straight losses, though, before his win over Jotko. Lost to Musasi, and he beat Musasi and then lost to Musasi. Blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And he does. He has those wicked leg kicks, but you don't ever know where his head is. And like I say, every time I'm like, yeah, this is my dude, he fucking lets me down. So, catching us. What the fuck? That's your word for the day. So now we're looking at Vito post-USADA Belfort. 18 KOs, three
bad
submissions,
box.
Five decisions. Boxing, jiu-jitsu, striking. He's explosive. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a former UFC light heavyweight champ. He also has a loss to Musasi, Souza and Weidman. So again, those are not bad people to have your ass beat by. But given that, you know what? I'm going out on a limb because this other dude lets me down every time. So I'm going Vitor Belfort with the first round KO of Uriah Hall, not Faber. Yep, I'm going big.
I know. We're going to continue this joke on. I appreciate you guys digging into me here, even though I made a mistake. I apologize. Uriah Hall.
It's because we were doing a shout-out. No, it's just because we were doing a shout-out to Team Alpha Male, and that kind of stayed in your head.
Right. It's what? That's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. Tony, I'm going to throw to you next because we've got a good point by Pam here. I mean, sometimes you never know what Uriah Hall is going to show up. And I don't know, man. I don't know if the ghost of Vitor Belfort, the Phenom, as we know he is going to show up. I mean, obviously, as I mentioned, he's dad bod. But what do you got here? You got Uriah Hall coming through in the pinch here, or and Vitor moving off to Japan so he can get back on the TRT?
I agree with Pam Proteus in the fact, but we do have to tell her. We do have to tell her to chill. I agree that Uriah Hall always lets me down. You guys know I love the karate style fighters. And Uriah Hall is just so darn athletic. But I'll tell you one thing. I think he finally got his head game back on track. I mean, both of these guys are coming off of, what, four straight losses, or at least three straight losses. Obviously beat Gegard Mousasi with that flying knee and just tremendous. Lost to Whitaker, actually got destroyed by Whitaker. It looks to be a decision, but he really lost that fight all the way around. Lost, surprisingly to me, to Derek Brunson, who Pam's going to see in a couple weeks. Of course, Gegard Mousasi got his revenge back, right, via TKO. But I just think, listen, I don't think they're going to allow Vitor Belfort to go out on TRT. I mean, not to make a joke, but I seriously don't think they're going to let him get juiced up for his last hurrah. So I just think Uriah Hall is too fast, too strong, too young right now. So I'm picking Primetime Hall, and I think he's going to finish the Chinny Belfort, as Marco would say, of recent. So I'm picking a second round KO, some sort of leg kick to Belfort.
Broken toe or no broken toe?
Broken toe.
Ba-doom, boom. Would you boom on that one?
There's a little snake in the grass right there.
I watched that fight earlier where he broke his toe.
Exactly. I thought it was funny. I thought it was good. Ba-doom, boom. I got it. I was good.
Thank you, dummies.
Listen. Thank you, Dana. We appreciate your 2 cents worth there. Listen, I'm going to go next. I'm going to throw to Marco on this one for the last, and into the main event we'll go. I think I'm going to ride with Uriah Hall here. I cannot see him losing to a 40-year-old Vitor Belfort in the cold in St. Louis, of all places. I hope that we see, and I've said this before on this show, I hope that we see Uriah Hall, you know, take what the talent that he's got and put it, you know, use it when it counts, when he's in the octagon, because that's what we need to see it. And unfortunately, sometimes we get guys that, you know, show out in the gym and they just can't make it happen when they're in the octagon. But I think Uriah Hall, as you said, DJ Tony, is kind of learning that headspace and kind of, I think that the Ultimate Fighter, Marco, is kind of a really weird testing ground. You know what I mean? You come off the Ultimate Fighter, you win it, and maybe that takes you 2 years or 3 years to deal with, because you got all this fame coming at you, people are paying attention to you, and then whether or not you win or lose for the next couple of years, they're still going to pay attention to you because you've got that moniker of the winner of the Ultimate Fighter. So I think maybe sometimes it takes these fighters that come off of the Ultimate Fighter a little bit of time, especially when you show out so well in that small gym in Las Vegas against, you know, whomever they find to go against you. And I just think that this is the time for Uriah Faber. He's getting, fuck's sakes, that's 3 times. And you guys have been making fun of me. That's 3 times.
Shut up!
Uriah Hall. Holy crap. That's ridiculous. Uriah Hall is going to come through and beat Vitor Belfort, I think it's going to be a pretty easy fight for Uriah Hall. He's going to take Vitor out late in the second. I think maybe by KO, probably going to get that head kick on, and I'm going to take Hall by KO in the second. Marco, let's get you to finish this one off. Tell us who you got here, and then we'll move on to the main event. We'll start with you. Uriah Hall versus the, I guess, not so middle, maybe middle-aged dinosaur now?
So, Beetle
not extinct yet.
So, Beetle
not extinct dinosaur.
Okay. Beetle that ball, Belfort. Dude, this was TRT tour. I will be TRT tour all the way, but that ball, man, I got no confidence on him. What Uriah Hall has to look forward to is a first 2 minute blitz. If he survives the 2 minute blitz, Beetle is done. I don't know. He spent all his wire in that one blitz that he always, you can count on that. He's going to get that blitz. And after that, he wilts. When he cannot take you out in that blitz, something clicks on Vitor Belfort's brain that says, uh-oh, this guy's not going away, and he just freaking checks out. So that is what Uriah Hall has to freaking look out for. I mean, let's remember that Uriah Hall lost the Ultimate Fighter. He was a runner-up to Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum turned out to be a pretty dang good fighter. Uriah Hall is the guy that never lived up to his potential. He's always going to be middle of the pack. He's never going to be a contender, but we can guarantee he's going to be an entertaining, you know, opening the main event or co-main event in FS1 fights. That is all that we can expect from this guy. At this point, we've been arguing about Uriah Hall's mental state for years now. It hasn't been months, it's been years. The guy had never got into the mental space. He's a little bit past his prime, too. He's not prime time anymore because he's 33. Usually, the physical prime for middleweights is right around 28 to 32. 33 is a little bit out. I mean, he still can do something. I mean, let's not forget Michael Bisping. He kept champion at 38, but I'm not comparing Uriah Hall to Michael Bisping. It's going to be an entertaining fight. You know, these two guys are poised for action fights, but I'm picking Uriah Hall. I think he will be able to survive that two-minute blitz. And after that, Vitor do what Vitor does. Plus, Vitor already talking about retirement, and this is his last fight. Yeah. I don't believe it's his last fight. If he's mentally checked out, if he doesn't get Uriah Hall on that 2 minute blitz, he's going to check out of the fight completely. And I think Uriah Hall is going to get him in the second round. It's going to TKO Vitor Belfort, because when Vitor loses, he usually looks ugly. And it's going to be a straight TKO, TKO for Uriah Hall in the second round.
I apologize for saying that Hall won the Ultimate Fighter. What I was trying to say was that, you know, he had all of this interest on the Ultimate Fighter. My apologies. I do apologize for that.
He came out looking like $1 million. I mean, he got all those highlight real knockouts and stuff. He was the Hall prospect. No, don't get me wrong. You're absolutely right.
Right, yeah. But I do believe I misspoke, so I apologize. Let's talk about this, Marco, because you did say that you think that Vitor is going to continue fighting, but is this not the last fight on his contract? I do believe that he's getting close to the end of his contract. I mean, I don't believe he's going to stop fighting either, but I just think that it's going to be done for him in the UFC here.
If this is not the last fight of his contract, I don't think he's retiring. Yeah, because if this is the last fight of his contract, if he hasn't extended, then, yeah, you will see him in Japan next, like, late 2018.
And I think we'll see him fighting in that.
Or maybe
go ahead.
Who knows? But I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure that this is his last fight on his contract.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either. But I think that he's close to the end. I think, honestly, if he loses this fight, you know, and he gets embarrassed, I think he's going to be on his way to the UFC anyways.
He's gone.
Exactly,
yeah,
mate.
Exactly.
But I do believe that if he loses this fight, he moves it over to Rizin, and he gets into that heavyweight steroid tournament that they got going on over there to fight Mirko Prokop.
Maybe he'll fight Gabby Garcia.
Oh!
Ooh!
That is a deep cut.
cut. For show.
That was a huge cut. Anyways, let's wrap up this main event. Guys, moving on, as I said, to the main event. To the featherweight division we go. As I mentioned earlier on, we've got the Little Heathen versus the Korean Superboy. Jeremy Stephens at number 9 versus number 13, Soo Ho Choi, who is looking to get a title shot before he moves into his mandatory military service in Korea. Let's maybe not mention that next time, big fella. Jeremy Stephens, 31, 26, and 14 at a plus 135. Soo Ho Choi, of course, at the ripe young age of 26, he is 14 and 2. Good lord. At a minus 155. Marco, this is the kind of main event you want to see on a fight night card, is it not? Who you got?
I love this fight, dude. This fight has got to be so much fun. Damn it. Yeah, do for sure. Next time you're going to announce that you're going to be gone 2 years like the Korean Zombie was, keep it to yourself, man, because, damn, man, I forgot about that. Why didn't you do your service right after high school, you dumb? Oh, well, what are you going to do? But that aside, man, I mean, we saw Duho Show in what could be called the fight of the year, you know, when he fought against Kobe Swanson. The guy got so much heart. I'm worried. I mean, the guy vowed he'll never lose again. And you cannot make that statement. You know, you will lose again, Duho Choi. Kid is talented. He got power. He is tough as nails. And for as much as we say Jeremy Stephens got freaking punching power, he hasn't been knocking out too many people at 145, man. I don't see his 155 knockout power carry over to 145. I mean, Jeremy Stephens is super tough. He's aggressive. You know, he likes to get into those, less band bro kind of fights. But I'm riding with Duho Choi. What he showed me, that Cobb Swanson fight, and the fact that he is a more natural knockout artist at a featherweight, let me know that the kid got something. I mean, he got more upside. Jeremy Stephens, for all his acolytes, he's not going to be a contender, man. You will not pick him against a Jose Aldo. You will not pick him against a Frankie Edgar or a Max Holloway. He'll get his lunch eaten, you know. The Korean Zombie will freaking destroy Jeremy Stephens. That is what I feel about it. It's going to be an entertaining fight, don't get me wrong. But I'm running with Duho Choi. And I think it's going to be a classic. It's a five-rounder, too. And
yeah.
I believe Duho Choi gets it done, and they get it done in the fourth round. He's going to overwhelm Jeremy Stephens. And the kid is really good at putting combinations together. If you watch Duho Choi's past fights, when he gets you in combinations, he hurts you. So I'm picking Duho Choi and, by four-round TKO on a classic, a fight that we're going to be talking about for a time to go.
Well, Marco, I don't know if we see a classic like you're talking about, apparently especially after this last fight against Cubby Sampson, he may need his 2 years of mandatory military service to recuperate from those two last fights. Pam, let's throw to you, though. I mean, do you agree with Marco and myself that this is going to be the fight that you need to be looking for? Not the spotlight fight of the night, but this is the kind of fight that you want on that main card, because it has the possibility or the potential to deliver big time.
Well, I think this is going to be Chingazo heaven.
Correct the mundo.
Chingazo.
And Chingazo heaven. And you're looking at Jeremy Stephens, you know, and he's been around, he's 31 right now, 26 and 14. He's got heavy hands. He has heart. You know, he goes in there and he's not going to quit. Jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. But he also is a decisionator by wins and losses. If you look at his last fights, Gilbert Melendez, decision. Renato Carneiro, lost by decision. Frankie Edgar, lost by decision. Henan Barral, won by decision. Max Holloway, lost by decision. His last KO was against Dennis Bermudez in 2015, And then after that, again, you go decision, 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 decision. So, you know, his last, but his last loss by a KO was in 2012. He's lost last five of his 10. You know, losses to Edgar Holloway, Oliveira, Cub Swanson, Cerrone, Pettis. So, you know, when he loses to good people. So guess what? Choi is a good person. I mean, he's a kick-ass fighter. So guess what? He's going to lose. Second round TKO.
Who's going to lose?
Jeremy Stephens.
So he's going to lose by second round TKO to Duke.
Second round TKO. You've got Choi, 14-2. He has lost twice, and both of them were by decision. And I think that he's going to want to put on a good show before he goes into his military service. So, you know, keep in mind, he was on a 12-win streak before his loss to Swanson. And who lost to Swanson? Jeremy Stephens. So, you know, you've got number 9 versus number 13. But I'm going with Choi. This guy, boxing, taekwondo, kickboxing, second-round TKO for me.
I'm so glad you dropped that, because I was going to say that earlier on when I introduced him at this fight, but I'm glad you dropped it there, Tony. Perfect. Listen, Tony, I'm going to throw to you here on this one, because Marco brought up a good point that maybe Stevens' punching power doesn't translate at 45. And
who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly. Pam brought up a good point as well. I mean, I think that we remember the Jeremy Stephens of old. I was just looking back through his record, and I don't understand why we think that Jeremy Stephens just like knocking people out. Apparently he wasn't, you know, but that punching power is so, when you see it happen in front of you or on the TV, it just looks so strong. But what do you got here? What kind of sense can you make of what everybody's been saying? Or are you still sitting on the fence on this one?
You know what? I had a teacher once in college that told me people are like computers, right? You program people. You can tell if you say something enough, it becomes true. So Jeremy Stephens has been telling us what, guys? That he's the hardest puncher in the 145, right? In the featherweight division, right? And that's when we got that drop.
Who the fuck is that guy?
The problem is, if you look at his record, Marco's right. Decision, 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 decision. TKO Dennis Bermudez, right, who had kind of 1 foot out the door, and that was all three rounds. The thing that we should think about is, can Jeremy Stephens go all five rounds with Duho Choi? We know that Duho Choi has gone five rounds in that brutal battle with Cub Swanson, but can Jeremy Stephens do that? I don't think he can, and I agree with Marco, and I agree with Pam. I think Duho Choi is going to want to go out and with a bang, as Pammy would say, let's bang, bro. I don't think Stevens is going to go more than three rounds of really throwing chingazos, so I'm going Duho Choi, just like Marco, fourth round, TKO.
And I just wanted to make a quick correction. The last fight against Cub Swanson was a three-round fight, and it was because it was on 206. Which was Holloway versus Pettis. Yeah, it's okay, Tony. I just wanted to make sure we're getting all the information correctly, because I don't think that Duho Choi looked like he could have gone five. I mean, yes, he was taking. I mean, they had an epic fight, Cub Swanson or Cubby Sampson and Duho Choi. They had an epic fight in three rounds, and I don't think either fighter could have gone. Well, maybe Cubby Sampson could have gone an extra two rounds, but Duho Choi did look like he had enough of that three-round beating. But of course, can Jeremy Stephens go five? That is a good question. I don't know if he can. I want to pick Duho Choi here, but I just think that even though Marco is not a big fan of Stephens' punching power, I just think that Stephens is that factor that can get it done. I mean, Duho Choi is not Jeremy Stephens. He's not as experienced as Jeremy Stephens is. And of course, moving down to the 45 for Jeremy Stephens is always going to be a challenge. But I'm going to ride with Stephens here. As much as I want to bet on the Korean Superboy, I just don't know if, you know, that fight against Cubby Sampson didn't take something out of him. I know he healed real quick, and I said on this show that I thought that Duho Choi would take a lot longer to recover from the beating that he took from Cubby Sampson. And he didn't. He recovered quickly. I guess that's the youth coming through. But I'm going to ride with Jeremy Stephens here. I'm going to take the second round TKO. I don't know. It's kind of a feeling that I have.
I got some comments. First of all, that Kobe Sanson fight was over a year ago. So it didn't
right.
come out because Duho Cho was supposed to fight in the same card that the Korean Zombie was supposed to fight on his second fight in return. And they both got
correct.
It. By the way, I would love that in the future, the Korean Superboy and the Korean Zombie fight for the title of best Korean fighter ever. So that fight will be epic. But yeah. Duho Cho doesn't got to go to his service until next year. He wants to squeeze a couple of more fights before the end of the
yeah.
year. On the featherweight division, Jeremy Stephens got one KO TKO, Bermudez. Duho Cho got more than one KO TKO, brother. The true knockout artist on the featherweight division is Duho Cho. So that is what I get to a little bit to your point, but you pick Jeremy Stephens. I mean, the guy created this myth, and we fast tend to believe it because we are devoid of knowledge. You know, we always remember the last fight. What have you done for me lately? But really, he was a knockout artist at 155, and he wasn't
yeah.
much of a knockout artist either. He's been, for a little, he hits hard. That is undeniable. But he hasn't been a knockout artist in featherweight. Duho Cho has been a knockout artist. So he's proven that he's a knockout. Like, look at his record. The kid
yeah.
knocked fools out. And now we know that he's tough as hell, too, because he took a beating from Cub Swanson, and he kept coming. So that's what I'm riding with the younger guy, and probably the future of the division, too. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, he's not the future of the division if he's got to take 2 years off, so that negates that. If he can come back and look as good as the Korean Zombie did against his mandatory military service, then, hey, I'm all for it. Marco, I'm sorry. We're almost at the hour mark here, and we got to get spotlight fights of the night in because
okay.
we still want to talk about some news topics, and we're on almost at an hour. So let's throw to spotlight fights of the night. Marco, let's start with you. What's your spotlight fight of the night?
I'm going to go with the first fight of the FS1 prelim, Thiago Alves versus Zach Cummings.
You took mine.
For a while. Of course I did, because I think just like you, buddy. We haven't seen Thiago Alves for a while, man, and this is his debut at 155, too, if I'm correct. And I want to see how Thiago Alves look at 155, man. He's a long-time veteran, you know, fought for the title. He got some, you know, problem with injuries. I want to see Thiago Alves fight. I've always been a big fan of him, man. Let's see how he look against Zach Cummings, bro.
I believe that Jim Miller, I believe he fought Jim Miller at 155, Thiago Alves. That was
absolutely correct. I stand
two
correct.
Fights ago.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that was his swan song to 155, if I remember correctly. They moved him down, and then he moved back up to fight Patrick Cote at 210, Patrick Cote's retirement. And, of course, your boy Proteus and your boy Chasm, we were on the broadcast holding up that Canadian flag. So good memories for me. Sorry about that. I hijacked. I'm going to take that same fight, spotlight fight of the night. I think Marco is bang on in this fight. Alves, you know, we haven't seen him since 210. Zach Cummings, man, tough dude. Coming off of two wins as well himself. Pam, let's throw to you for your spotlight fight of the night.
My spotlight fight, and I picked this before it got moved up, was Elkins and Johnson. We've got number 10 against number 10, but Michael Johnson going down to 145. So I'm curious to see how he's going to look at 145. I'm curious as if he's even going to make weight at 145, because he's 5'10". So 5'10", you know, that's, I don't know. But both of them are wrestlers, strikers. I think it's going to be pretty good. Elkins is coming off of 5 straight wins. Michael Johnson, you know, losses to Khabib, Diaz, Gaethje, Dariush, and I'm just curious about his weight cut, how that's going to affect him. On paper, you know, both of them decisionators, so I'm not even picking. I'm kind of thinking Johnson will win because if he has a good weight cut and puts weight back on, you know, how much bigger is he going to be, because he already has the reach advantage at 73 and 41 versus 71 and 39. So I'm just curious about that one.
Pam, I am right on page with you on this one. I think that this move down for Michael Johnson is a mistake. I don't think this is going to work out well for him. And we've seen fighters do this before. Showtime Pettis comes to mind, you know, moved down, realized that, shit, that's a mistake. So I think that, you're exactly right with the intrigue on your spotlight fight of the night here. Tony, let's throw to you before, do we have even time for news? Let's throw the spotlight fight of the night on this. Tony, what's your spotlight fight of the night?
Oh, my goodness.
My spotlight fight of the night is Jessica Evil Eye. I've been wanting to see her for over a year. We've seen her weigh in a couple of times, but the fight hasn't gone through. I think they're going to give her a gimme fight, or at least they think it's going to be a gimme fight. But it may be a takeaway fight, as she might be fighting her way back to Bellator. So my spotlight fight is Jessica Evil Eye, hopefully making winning for the first time in four fights.
Well, again, let's talk about it, because Jessica, moving down to 125, probably her more natural weight, as we mentioned earlier on with Paige VanZant, Tony. I think you're right here. I think that, that you want to feed a kind of a mainstay like Jessica, and give her kind of an easier fight. I don't know. I mean, 18-6-1 is not a bad record for her opponent, Kalindra. Faria? Am I pronouncing that right, guys?
Faria.
I
don't even. She doesn't even come up with
my apologies. I apologize. Hey, I can't do everything all at once, Marco. I'm trying to run the show here. Anyway. I love that drop. That makes me so happy. Okay, guys. So let's put a big fat bow on that UFC Fight Night, Swanson versus Choi. Sorry, Stevens versus Choi Swanson. God, I am not having a good time right now on this particular show. Stevens versus Choi. Okay,
from the Canadian weed, man.
It must be. It must be that Canadian ganja. Anyways, moving right along. Let's get into some news, Tony, real quickly. The main point of news that I saw coming out of this week was referee Big John McCarthy moving on to the Bellator commentary team. And we talked about this. We went back and forth on text message. So I just want to get you to go ahead and comment on this first, because what do you think about this move by Bellator and by Big John?
You know, I think Marco's going to have a really good take on it. So will Pam, because they both watch Bellator as much as I do. But I think they're the biggest surprises that I thought they were going to give it to. I thought they were going to share the wealth with Chael Sonnen and Frank Mir, two fighters that have been doing some commentating and really are at the tail end of their careers. So to bring someone out of left field, that was, to me, the biggest surprise. But I think Big John, as we've seen in Junkie and others, he's actually great on the mic. So shout out to Big John and congratulations.
And Marco, let's throw to you next, but let's talk about some things that DJ Tony said, because I do believe that Bellator did pick up an extension on Chael Sonnen, of course, also a fighter that is in the open weight tournament that they are throwing over the next year. That's not mine. That's Marco's line. And I think that, of course, Frank Mir is also involved in that particular tournament. So moving to Big John, as Tony had said, is kind of out of left field. Yes, Marco?
So a lot to unpack in here, but overall, I like the move, man. I mean, Big John was on the Luke Thomas show. He was on Junkie. He's, doing the rounds, explaining his position. A lot of people are on the misconception that Big John is retiring from officiating. That is not completely true. He's not going to officiate mixed martial arts for a while. He's leaving the window open for the future, because you never know. But he's still officiating. Like, the very next day, after the Bellator fight next week, he gets an officiating gig with a boxing match. So he's still going to be involved in combat sports, officiating other sports. And I think that is a good thing, man, because Big John not only got a big footprint on the MMA space. I mean, for crying out loud, the unified rules are mostly the imprint of the input that Big John McCarthy put in 2000 with the ABC, man. literally, Big John McCarthy wrote the rules of the sport that we watch today. The guy has been in there since UFC 3, man. One of the most experienced guys. So we're not going to lose him completely when it comes to combat sport, but we won't see him on an octagon or a cage officiating for a while. He's going to bring such a good insight when it comes to what exactly is going on, you know, because besides the people that are fighting in the cage, he's the third closest person inside the fight because he's right there on the cage watching the fight and officiating it. So the insight he's going to bring to Bellator is priceless. And for all intents and purposes, we know that the big rumor is that Jimmy Smith is heading to the UFC and the Fox Nest. So good for Jimmy Smith, too. A little bit of reshuffling of the cards. Good move by Bellator. I mean, you know that I got my issues with Bellator. I criticize them for the things that they do wrong a lot. But I've seen on this one, they got it right. Big John McCarthy is going to make a big impact, especially educating the fans. And Jimmy Smith moving to the UFC, especially with Rogan coming to the end of his tenure, you know, he's deciding whether he's going to re-up or retire. You know, Jimmy Smith looked like a natural fit for the UFC, too.
Yeah, let's just unpack a couple of things that you said. I heard the Luke Thomas interview as well, Marco, and I think it was kind of intriguing to hear that Big John had been dealing with an injury, a pretty serious injury that, of course, would not allow him to continue his duties in MMA. Probably an easier gig is to go into a boxing match as long as you don't get clocked in the head. And Pam, we're going to come to you for a comment. I'm just trying to close out Marco's comments here. Very, very interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's very short notice for Big John. I mean, he's mentioned that he's going to be able to learn from the people who are around him. And of course, we know Mauro Anello, Goldie, are going to be there to give him advice. And as you said, Marco, I think that Big John is going to be able to give us a DJ Tony. He did have an injury, and he mentioned it on the SiriusXM Rush Luke Thomas show. You can get that on Luke Thomas's YouTube page. I'm very good of them to put it out, because that's not, and of course it all should be free content. They shouldn't be charging for shit nowadays. Anyways, another story for another time.
Real quick, he got his neck crushed.
Yeah,
jiu-jitsu class by a guy that didn't know what he was doing, and he damaged a lot of nerves on his neck.
Yeah, and this is the problem with rolling with people that aren't on your level. I mean, sometimes you you want to give them the experience, but sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Anyways, we need to still throw to Pam, and we still need to close this show up. So, and I got one more topic that I want to get Tony in, because Tony is not going to be on to next week's show. Tony is going to, you know, life gets in the way. Big John being on the card or on the broadcasting team, I mean, it was very short notice. He said that in the interview, very short notice. He was trying to get another job somewhere else, or he had a couple of other options, and he chose this one. I think it's very, very good. If he's able to slip into that role seamlessly, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens in 2 weeks on the Bellator broadcast. Of course, that is before, or is it the same weekend as 220? Yeah, it is. It's going to be very, very interesting. Exactly. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the numbers, and it's also going to be interesting to see what happens with Big John McCarthy. As Tony pointed out on our text messages, it's not as long a broadcast on terrestrial TV as it would be for the UFC, so I don't know. I just think it's going to be a challenge for him. Pam, what do you think, Big John McCarthy getting onto the Bellator commentary team?
Well, I think it's pretty cool that he's debuting on the night of the big Rory Mack fight.
Right.
Isn't that the 20th? Oh. Yeah, Rory Mack and Lima that night. So.
That's another good point. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, but you know what, I'm just a little bit curious is that I had posted his letter that he had posted and how he wanted to go out on his terms and things like that. And I'm just wondering if there's like some underlying story going on, because Uncle Dana does have a way of kind of pissing off people that work for him, or not, but you know, work with him. But aside from that, I think it's awesome, because I think who better to explain to us lay people that sometimes don't understand things than Big John McCarthy? I mean, who better to break things down and say, hey, this is why this is happening, this is why this decision was made, blah, blah, you know, who better? So I think for him, I think it's awesome. Apparently him and Scott Coker have a very, very nice business relationship already anyways. And he talks about how the respect that he has for Bellator and Scott Coker, and how Scott treats his employees. So right there, reading that sentence alone, I was like, I wonder. But good for him. Good for him. Good for Bellator. And you know what? UFC's loss is their gain, because they could have not asked for a more professional, charismatic person if they were to invent one.
Yeah, and I think that the Bellator did gain by taking on Big John, but I think the UFC is kind of, as Marco alluded to as well, I mean, Jimmy Smith moving over to the UFC is kind of a big move too. Let's talk on this real quickly, because I think it's a good talking point, because Jimmy Smith moving over, he does the same job as Joe Rogan. So they can't have, as long as Joe Rogan
and they look
is there,
alike.
They do look similar. Apparently Jimmy Smith had that look before Joe Rogan. So copyright infringement, Joe Rogan.
Very good.
Indeed. So listen, as Jimmy Smith had mentioned on the Ariel Helwani show, I believe it was Monday, you know, he is interested in doing other things besides doing the play-by-play, Marco. So let's get into that real quick, because I want to get to this Bellator tournament, because Tony is not going to be here next week, and I know that he's a big Bellator fan, but let's get into this real quick, Marco. Just real quick comment on Jimmy Smith, and of course, I mean, he alluded to it on Ariel's program. He alluded to it on Joe Rogan's program, that he's moving to the UFC. And you just said, you know, we're expecting him to be on the desk for Fox for the UFC. So go quick. Let's do this real quick. Jimmy Smith moving to the UFC.
Good for Jimmy Smith, dude. I mean, it's a natural progression. The guy's still young, you know. He's probably going to be the heir apparent to Joe Rogan, being the color commentator for the UFC.
I agree.
Because Rogan is in his 50s, you know, he wants to do other stuff. He's been very public about the fact that he wants to retire soon. He does very few gigs anyway. He only do the pay-per-views that are on America. He barely travels. And they've been rotating a lot of fighters on the desk with John Anik and Gooden and the other dude that I don't remember his name from ESPN. Jimmy Smith would be a natural fit, you know. Everybody saw Brian Stan was going to be the guy, but he's doing real estate and making millions. So, yeah, good for Jimmy Smith. And if he goes to the desk and become an analyst too, even better. Let him make money, man. The guy can put his time. He's respected on the industry. He's a recognizable figure. So, yeah, it's a good natural progression.
Honestly, guys, I just think that you slide Jimmy Smith into the shows that Joe Rogan is not doing, because you honestly are doing yourself a disservice if you take anybody else. DC's great, la la la, I don't like hearing his voice, but you put Jimmy Smith into the shows that are international, that you know, not to take away from the business of the international crews, like the British crews or anything like that, but you put him on the shows that, you know, you would put a fighter in there, and you get somebody who's much more professional. Zip that one up. Good job, guys. Way to go. So let's move on to Bellator Lima versus McDonald. And Pam, you brought this up, and I think it's very interesting, Pam, quickly. I think it's very interesting that the best referee in MMA will not be refereeing this fight. He will be in the commentary booth, right? Even though we have two cards, and maybe Big John would have been working the UFC card on that particular day, I assume he probably would have been, because 220 is a gigantic card. Oh, I'm excited. But let's talk about it. Lima versus McDonald is going to be a great card. And, of course, let's talk more specifically about Big John not being there to ref this event.
You know, maybe it's cool for him because now maybe he gets to watch instead of, like, watching. Maybe he gets to enjoy a fight and watch a fight instead of, you know, when you're in the octagon, you're not really watching. You're watching what they're doing, but you're officiating, so you can't sit there and really, that was a great move. So good for him. I think that's awesome. And like I said, I think that's a great way to make his debut on one of Bellator's biggest fights of the year.
Okay, so let's talk about this real quick, Marco, and I'm going to throw it to you. Luke Thomas brought this up on his particular show as well, and I think it's a pertinent question to ask. Do we have enough? I mean, it's only one guy, but we know that Big John worked a lot of events. Does this, and of course, Big John is going to have to retire at some point. He's going to have to remove himself from roughing at some point. But, I mean, is this a big loss to the roughing game in MMA in general? I mean, we've got the guys coming up, you know, Bobby Wambacher coming up, and maybe that allows those guys to get a little bit more airtime on, you know, the big events. But what do you think about this? I mean, do we have enough quality refs to do the UFC events and to do Bellator and to do everything else now that John has removed himself?
This is good news for our own junkie, Aaron Maynard. You know, he's a ref too here in the state of Texas. So good for Aaron. But, nobody can do the job forever, man. Father Time is going to come knocking at the door eventually. I mean, Herdin, Gugliada, we got Rosenthal. Rosenthal is back. You know, he's not on federal prison anymore.
Beltran.
We got some good referees out there still, man. It's not like the pool of referees is depleted. The best of them is going to be commentating. So what? You know, he's not completely out of it, and he's still going to be training officials, you know, his seminars and stuff. So he's not completely out of the officiating business. He's still going to be mentoring younger and newer freaking referees and doing the job that, him and Herdin have took the mantle on and pushed forward to. So it's a loss, but it's not as big as a loss as everybody thinks, because we're not completely losing Big John McCarthy. He's still involved with the sport. He's still involved with mentoring new officials. And you need to get the opportunity to those new guys. I mean, if you got the spot there forever, the Rocky, you know, the hot prospect is ever going to get an opportunity if you get, you know, Big John there. Eventually, somebody has to step up.
No, I agree. I just think it's, you know, 25 years, as you mentioned, Marco, of having Big John, you know, in that officiating role, and as you said, you know, changing the rules recently and the unified rules recently, which aren't unified. It just seems like Big John is kind of that, you know, concrete pillar that we always wanted to have in the sport. And as you mentioned, maybe I'm just getting out of control here and I'm, you know, panicking that, you know, he's still going to be in the sport. He's still going to be around. He's just changing his job. I really wish him well, because I've not met him, but my wife has met him. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier on in this show years ago, or year and a half ago, probably, you know, got a nice picture with him, and then sent, you know, was nice enough to send it to me going, "Hey, got a picture with Big John." And she's listening upstairs. I'm sure I'm going to hear about that.
Let me talk with real quick. Tony, I'm going to open it to you. Let's talk about the Open Weight Grand Prix. Let's talk about
this.
This
is exciting.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this is exciting, this is because Marco brought up the fact that this is open weight, and we've seen tournaments before, you guys. But to see, like Marco said it, and listen, all credit goes to Marco, to see an open weight basically just throwing in the stars. I think good for them. The bad thing for Bellator, guys, is the fact that this is on a very on a pay-per-view, and it's not a good matchup the first round. So this is going to be exciting, guys. I want to hear from you guys on that.
As Tony was saying, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a challenge for Bellator here because we've just mentioned that it's on the same weekend as a pay-per-view, you know, weekend, and it's heavyweight. I mean, I don't know if anybody's not excited about Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou. I think you're crazy. So as Tony says, we have a big challenge here. You know, we're starting the heavyweight Grand Prix. We've got, you know, a big fight on the main event at Bellator. I mean, how many people are going to be watching, Marco? Who do you think is going to be watching Bellator when we've got a big UFC pay-per-view?
That is why God invented DVR, man. I'm going to tape the Bellator event and watch it after I watch the pay-per-view, because that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I got the two TVs set up. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to, I can watch both at the same time. But my attention span is going to be mostly with the UFC pay-per-view.
Wow.
But this open weight Grand Prix again, you know, I'm not going to talk about what it's supposed to be going to win and lose right now, because we're going to break that down next week. But opening the chicken bracket, we got a natural middleweight against a former light heavyweight that now looks like a blown-out super heavyweight. You know, kudos to Quinton Grandpa Jackson. That's had to die. So, a little bit gimmicky, but I'm still going to watch, bro. I'm still going to watch. The two cars are really good, man. I mean, I'm going to watch them both, but I'm going to watch one live and the other one on recording, you know, after I take a good night's sleep. I'm going to wake up the next morning, and I'm going to avoid all the spoilers, and I'm going to watch the Bellator card the next morning. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but that's what I'm going to do. But I'm intrigued. I mean, real quick, Chael Sonnen was on the Fumble Fighting podcast with Fran Mir today, and they were speculating, you know, if Chael wins his fight and Fran wins his fight, they're supposed to fight each other. And they're already talking about doing a multicast of the You Welcome podcast and the Fumble Fighting if they have to face each other. So that's going to be entertaining if that is what happens in the future.
First of all, I don't see Chael Sonnen winning that fight at all. That's all I have to say about that. And like you said, Michael, we're going to get into that next week. But Pam, let's throw it to you, because we have not talked much about the, you know, Bellator open weight. It's supposed to be a heavyweight, you know, tournament, but I mean, as Marco was stating, it's more of an open weight, you know, championship. And what do you got going on here? What are your thoughts? What do you think about this moving forward? And Tony, I know you don't want to weigh in, but quickly after Pam, and then we'll get out of here. Well, we got to get Pam away from UFC 219 as well.
Oh, I think it's just going to be fun. It's different, and I think it's just going to be something just so completely crazy and fun. I love it. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do it, because I was going to watch a fight in the living room and then go to the bedroom, but Lucian threw up on my cable box and shorted it out, so my cable box isn't working in my bedroom.
Oh, perfect. You got a week to get that sorted out, so maybe you can get that done.
I know, right?
I just wanted to comment here. I think doing a heavyweight tournament over a whole year is kind of problematic. I guess it kind of gives you a way for your older guys to recover from any damage that they may have incurred by winning their fights.
They should make it exciting and do it all in one night.
Yeah, I don't know about all in one night, but I think, like you said, Pam, they probably should have done it in a shorter period of time. I'm very concerned about stretching it out over a year. I mean, what happens with the last guy who wins? The last guy who wins, if there's a guy who is sitting on the bench waiting for the next challenger to win, I mean, that guy could be off for 6 months. That guy could be off for, you know, I don't know, X amount of time. I just don't think, I think there's a lot of problems with the way they're setting it up. And I think that that's kind of something that we have to take into account, because somebody's alarm is going off or something.
That was my Alarm lady, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the Open Way Grand Prix champion is Justin Ryan as an alternate.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, that would be the feel-good story of anything, Justin Ren being able to get into this heavyweight tournament and winning it, Daniel Cormier with the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. Good call, Marco. Good show. Okay, quickly, let's wrap this damn show up. Pam, you had a really, really good time in Vegas in UFC 219. Let's get that quick Cole's note story because we got to get out of here soon. But you guys had a great time. The Pam and Sam
had
show.
Had a blast.
In effect.
Had a blast. Let me see. Hung out with Clay Guida, drank moonshine with Nick Diaz, met Stitch Dudon, danced for him, baked him a cake. I brought him a Duke shirt, which he absolutely loved, by the way. It was a blast. It was epic. Real quick, we ended up switching our tickets for floor seats. I was four rows behind the octagon. So it was great. I made a little video of Mike Tyson eating popcorn. So, I mean, it was just epic. So, of course, we're doing it in July for Fight Week. You know that.
Yeah. I can't get out to Vegas. So you guys enjoy yourselves. But listen, let's just quickly, like you said, you were trying to get it through real, real quickly. But like you said, you were able to get some floor seats. You were sitting beside, you know.
Phil Baroni. We were sitting next to Phil Baroni.
Yeah. I didn't want to throw his name out there. But, yeah, I mean, like, guys are right in the thick of things. Mm-hmm. And you came home with the Vegas flu. So you guys obviously
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, and then, of course, we had to hit up the dispensary. So that was first and foremost.
Well, of course. Of course. You got to get done. And like Marco was saying earlier on, he'd like to get to California for that legal recreational weed. Boom. That's right. So listen, like I was saying, and let's talk about your girls' win, your countrymen's win. I mean, quick question for everybody. We'll go around the horn on this one. We'll start with you, Pam. Is Chris Cyborg the best women's fighter of all time?
You know what? I would have to say yes, until proven otherwise, because there's so far nobody can beat her. I mean, they had to create a whole freaking division just for her to fight in. So right now, yes.
And Marco, I mean, Pam just said it. I mean, they had to create a whole division for this woman. She's the only woman. We've been talking about this on this show for probably the best part of a year. She's the only woman in this division. Can you actually give her that distinction of being the best women's fighter of all time?
Because the last time he fought Legit Featherweight was in Strikeforce with Gina Carano and Marlo Spoonen. And she lost to Jorina Barnes in Mutai, so no. And Jorina Barnes is a natural featherweight. Ever since then, she's been fighting blown-out 135, you know, because there is not enough 145 for her to fight. Cyborg, quick talking Amanda Nunes. That is a fight to V. That is the fight that needs to happen. There is no other girls. I mean, I love Megan Anderson. I want that fight to happen. But Megan has her own issues. I don't know why she cannot get her visa. I don't know why he cannot fight. Amanda Nunes wants to get the fight. Amanda Nunes is asking for the fight. Amanda Nunes is a striker, too. It would be epic. Champion versus champion. Super fight. Quit ducking her. Quit making excuses. If you want to be known as the best fighter of all time, go and fight the girl that knocked out Ronda Rousey and knocked out Misha Tate. And maybe we're going to start making those claims. But in the meantime, no. I don't like what she's doing, man. Whoever got her freaking social media account is not doing her a good service. All these excuses of not fighting Amanda Nunes, that don't look good, man. That don't look good at all. But not right now. She's on the way, though. I know, I'm going to recognize that. She's on the way, but not right now.
All right, Marco, close the show, please.
Okay, guys. Follow DJ Tony. I am DJ Tony. Follow Producer The Produce. Follow Fat at Pandora Box. Follow the podcast as another MMA cast. Rate and review as Knucklehead. Go on Netflix and watch the new Dave Chappelle comedy special. It's hilarious. You guys, enjoy the fight this Sunday. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
Damn, quick close.
Oh. I missed you guys. Good night.
I missed you too, Pam. We hadn't heard from you in a while, and it's good to hear your voice.
I know.
We've got 2 months straight of UFC programming, so we will get back to being acquainted again. All right, Pam. Thank
just
you very
like
much.
That. All right.
Okay. No, Tony, let's throw to you real quick. You got anything to close?
Yeah, as the great Pam always told me, never to name drop. So shout out to Pam.
Pam?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Chingazos. And a reminder, this Sunday is UFC Fight Night, Stevens versus Choi from Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, live on FS1. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you, dummies.